Father, we do thank you for everyone who has set aside their time this morning to come out, Father, to willingly serve, to make this streaming service possible. So, Father, we pray that in the midst of the crisis that surrounds us, we will be instruments of peace and order. That, Father, chaos cannot overcome us if we're anchored to the rock. I thank you for that beautiful song that we sang a little earlier this morning. So, Lord, we pray for those who are ill. There are those, and Father, it goes beyond the virus that has invaded our land. Father, to people that just aren't feeling good, people that are going through the normal struggles of life. And so we lift them up to you too, Father. Pray for our church family, our body, as we connect with one another via whatever means possible in lieu of not being able to have personal contact. So, Father, no one, nothing, no power on earth can stop the church because she's your bride. And the Lord Jesus bought her. She's paid for. She's his. And matter of fact, the Lord said that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. So we're sure not going to let a virus slow us down. Thank you, Father, for the technology that you've given us. And we pray for the church across this nation that they would seize the moment, that they would see this season as a time to reach the multitudes in different ways. And Father, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to go forth, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning again, folks. We are glad to have you with us once again. Now, we've been having a little fun here in the sanctuary with just a handful of us here. And I have been looking out over all the puppets and everything, and we got a lot of look like the Muppets and stuff here. And it's really strange because these puppets are beginning to look like you folks out there. And, you know, that's kind of scary. We got one over here with his head back, his mouth open, and he's asleep. I don't really want to put a name on that one, you know. But here's the one that worries me. Here's the one that worries me. This one. Now, I hope there's no one can identify with this one here. But, you know, he's powerless anyway. Amen? He's powerless. He was defeated at the cross of Christ. And so anyway, we're just going to discard this one, you know, and he's not going to bother me down there. But yeah, praise God. Yeah, I was going to smack him around a little bit, but then I thought, well, there may be some children watching something. I want to thank Crystal for the children's ministry that is continuing so vibrantly. My kids sure enjoyed being online last night at 5 o'clock for the streaming service, and they were in the computer room there just, they were having a worship service. They were praising God and dancing, and they were there for the entire thing and really enjoyed it. Again, thanks to our video, our audio team that's here this morning to make all of this possible. Security's here helping us out to monitor the building, but again, we are observing those social distances, you know, and trying to do things to put everybody at ease. And boy, we've had church this morning. How about an amen?
Amen.
There you go. Next week we will be returning to the series on the cross that I began before the virus hit, and because it's Palm Sunday. And so we're going to go back to that series and take a look at the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, or a text that will lead us in that direction. And of course, then on Easter Sunday, we're going to have a celebration because we will with continued enthusiasm celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So be attuned for that. We're going to continue. We've even had a couple ideas. I don't know if this can work or not, and I don't know, but we thought about having a drive-in church where people come and set in their cars in the parking lot, and we'd broadcast on the east side of the church here, And, you know, we're just talking about all kinds of ways, some a bit innovative, to get the word out, continue to have the gospel proclaimed, and maybe, just maybe have a little fun with it along the way. So, again, welcome. We're going to go ahead and enter into our message time. We kind of pushed it up a little closer to 11, and we almost did it. For you go, folks that are out there, I've been stalling. So we're right at about 11 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and hit it. We'll have the worship team just sing a couple more songs next week. Boy, it don't get any better than that. Thank you, guys, again. Overcoming when you're overwhelmed. God's cure for troubled times. Today we're going to look at three things that every person needs, especially in times of trial and tribulation. Folks, we're in a time, a season, a nation that is engulfed in fear and anxiety. There's doubt, there's questions, there's uncertainty. Chaos, praise the Lord, has been kept to somewhat of a minimum, but there is a lot of anxiety around us. People are searching for things that give meaning and meaning, and people are searching for security. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to feel safe. They want to know that things are okay, that they are protected. I was reminded of an encounter that I had one time with the Lord. I've had several over the years. You know, I don't know if you ever heard that song, "He Touched Me." You know, and the Lord has never really touched me. He usually smacks me upside the head. But anyway, He gets my attention. And I was doing a lot of travel. I was going overseas a lot. And I was going down the road one day. I was actually headed to the airport, and I was praying. I was praying for my family, and I said, "God, you just got to take care of my family. You just got to take care of my family while I'm gone." And the minute those words came out of my mouth, "while I'm gone," it was just like the car shook with His voice. He said, "Who do you think takes care of your family when you're here?" And that was a profound moment for me for taking too much responsibility in providing the care. Yes, reasonable responsibility to care for our families, to provide for them, to watch over them, guard them, protect them, and all of those things. But ultimately, if God doesn't do it, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do. God ultimately is going to take care of everything. And that's what I want us to believe in this season of life that we find ourselves in right now. People are looking for that kind of security. People are looking for that kind of hope. And what a time for the church to arise. We have what is a desperate and scared world searching for these things. And back to the point that we're going to pursue here this morning, deep in the heart of all people, I believe there are three things that they need, three realities that need to be present. One author puts it, these three realities constitute the irreducible minimum as well as the requisite maximum. And I love that statement, these three essential things. So let's go to the text and find out what Scripture says about these three things and the one who can supply them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as Stan said, if you want to stand for the reading of the Word of God, that's perfectly okay. But we will do that here in honor of the Word. We're going to read the entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and then we're going to boil it down to the very last verse, but I think it's good to hear it in context. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And verse 13, please note. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's pray together. Father, again, we come in the mighty, precious, beautiful name of Jesus to ask for your blessing on the reading of the word. I pray, Father, that you are honored through the reading of your word, that you will be glorified through the preaching of your word. And that, Father, through the preaching, proclamation of the good news of the gospel, I pray that you will reap a harvest, that people will respond, come to you to find that security and that hope and that love that they long for. So, Father, to you be all the glory, all the praise, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul sets up a value contrast in our text. He's done this in other texts. In other words, this is how much these things are worth compared to this or these things. He even does this in reference to himself. In Philippians 3, in verse 4, beginning in verse 4, he says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now listen to the way the apostle sets this up. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. That's quite a list, folks. That's quite a list of achievements and personal attributes. And then he says this, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So he sets up this contrast. I have all of these things, but compared to this, what now is their value? I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. And he closes with these words, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So Paul says, I have all of these things, and all of these things are recognized by man as great achievements. They're great titles. I have a pedigree that anyone would be proud of. I have accomplishments. I have all of these things, but you know what they are compared to Christ? Rubbish. Rubbish. They're not. So he sets up this contrast, and I think we see a parallel here in 1 Corinthians 13. But here in the text that we read, in the text where it says, now faith, hope, and love abide these three, the greatest of these is love. So we see even with faith and hope, love is elevated to preeminent. And two other things that will endure. So let's examine the three essentials, faith, hope, and love. Our first point of consideration will be all people need a sound faith. Now we're going to talk about what that word sound means. All people need a sound faith. You see, we are a people of faith, and not just Christian faith or faith in Christ. There's a list of faith that's exhaustive, of faith in this, faith in that. And so we got to be careful as we define faith or as we determine what that faith is in. Our faith or our trust is only as sound as the person or thing we place it in or on. Again, it's only as sound, it's only as reliable as the person or thing that we place it on or in. Scripture says that even in the tribulation period, when people ought to be looking for sound faith, listen to what John says in Revelation 9. They chose not to repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver and of brass and of stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So even in that, people turned away from the living God to inanimate objects that could do nothing and respond in no way. So a secure person must place their faith in the living God. Acts 17. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. You see, our God is the true one living God. And he's real. The greatest danger, I believe, of misplaced faith is when it's placed in oneself. Or our faith, now listen to me carefully, our faith is in the greatness of our faith. If my faith is in the greatness of my faith, then that is a man-centered religion, a man-centered faith. I want you to know that my faith is not in the greatness of my faith, but in the greatness of our God. Amen? So place your faith in the living Christ. Place your faith in the one who has conquered sin and death and the grave. Place your faith in him who rose from the dead and is living right now, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding, praying for all of us who believe. Place your faith in the rock. Place your faith in the one who hears and cares and acts. And as the song we sang earlier, I just love that song, by the way. Debbie, Stan, whoever picked that out. Praise God. Your anchor will hold when you're anchored to the rock. So you need to be a person with sound faith. Examine what you have placed your faith in. And as we mentioned last week, be careful that it's not placed in your ability to provide for yourself or your ability to provide ultimate security. So place your faith in a source that is able, according to the scripture, to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. The second thing that people need out of these three essentials, this triad, is a secured hope. A secured hope. Now, obviously, that's going to be tied to the sound faith. If you don't have a sound faith, you're not going to have secured hope. But if we have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we got a secured hope. You know why? Because he holds it. He holds it. My faith is in him to secure my hope. My faith is in him to hold my hope secured. My hope is not dependent on me. Folks, if that were the case, I would be without hope. Period. I'd be without hope if that depended on me to keep. Because circumstances would overwhelm me. Trials would overwhelm me. The things that are going on in our nation right now would overwhelm me. But my hope is not in this world. My hope is in the resurrected Jesus Christ. A secured hope brings purpose and meaning to life. You know, one of the things that I've heard about POWs, the horrible, horrible, indescribable trauma that no one could relate to unless they've been there and been through it. But they try to remove hope. They just try to take away hope. They try to take away any glimmer of future expectation, try to convince them that everybody has forgotten them. They're all alone. Nobody cares anymore. Folks, when you take away hope, you take away life. You take away life. But Christ has secured life, and he said, I have come that you might have. Remember the old devil I held up here? Well, the puppet that is supposed to represent that. Remember, the devil don't look like this. You know, he really don't. The devil is disguised as an angel of light. You know, so I like it. You know, Crystal, please, it's okay. You know, but we want to make sure the devil doesn't show up in our services. I love it. I just absolutely love it. But Satan wants to take away our hope, folks. He wants to take away our hope. Matter of fact, Satan will lie to you in such ways that when you really get down or really get discouraged, he will try to convince you that Jesus isn't enough. Jesus isn't enough. And what if anything comes out of Satan's mouth, what is it? It's a lie. He cannot speak the truth. It's impossible. It's not. He is incapable of saying anything that's true. So if he says anything, it's a lie. But Christ said what he came to steal, what he came to kill, what he came to destroy, I have come that you might have life. And that life abundant. So we have faith and hope tied together, and a passage that captures that, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Know that our sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. You know, Paul, if we look at that passage, it literally describes some of what we're experiencing right now through suffering, through these times of trial. And what is that? It's to produce in us what? Produce in us more hope. Now, see, the world can't connect to that, because suffering, according to the world, takes away hope. But as believers in Jesus Christ, suffering produces hope. Isn't that, God just turns everything upside down, doesn't he? He just turns it upside down and inside out. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. A sound faith, a secured hope, carries us through and sustains us in times of uncertainty and trial. People are going to believe in something. We are created, we are designed to be people of faith. Please make sure your faith is sound. Place not on a rock, but on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. With sound faith and an assured, secured hope, the third essential, which Paul says is most important. Number three, everybody needs to experience, possess. I would use the word possess, a surpassing love. Sound faith, secured hope, surpassing love. So faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, we're not talking about a fragile emotion or a passing feeling. People need genuine love. So I would ask our audience this morning, and the puppets can respond as you wish, how many in here just have no desire to be loved? Well, for those of you who are watching, not one hand went up. Not one hand. Folks, we need that. We were created with that need within us. We need to be loved. And see, that love has to go beyond this emotion. It has to go beyond a feeling, which is very fragile, because emotions rise and fall, ebb and flow. Feelings will change. Love, and the type of love we're talking about here, is agape love, the love of God, which is unconditional. People need to know that there's someone who will love them unconditionally. People need to know that there's someone who will love them lavishly. People need to know that there's someone who will love them generously. Loved by someone who knows all their faults, fears, doubts, and loves them anyway. And loves them anyway. Folks, I only know of one that can do that. I only know of one. And that's God, our Creator. A love that can only be found from God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, in last week's message, we talked about the peace of God. And you cannot possess or know the peace of God unless you know the God of peace. Well, the same thing is true with the love of God. We cannot know the love of God if we don't know the God of love. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment. Let's read that again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, I want us to consider for just a moment the power of that text before I finish the verse up through verse 16. This is convicting, folks, and this is going to sound a little harsh, but stay with me. If someone says, I love you, but doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, what kind of love are they expressing? Now, the text makes it clear that if you don't know God, you cannot know love. So I am going to present to you this hard fact. There is a lot of emotions and feelings running rampant around here. And unfortunately, around here, I mean not in this room, but around everywhere. And unfortunately, it's a tragedy when it comes to marriage. That's why, listen to me carefully, folks. I've known couples that stayed married for however long, 50, 60, 70 years, and maybe they weren't saved. Okay? But think about this. All those years together, and they never, ever realized what true love was. Am I wrong? No. You see, you can stay together. You can exist. You can be friends. You can and you can have these years of happiness. You can have these years of productivity. You can have these years of building families. But you can be right here when you could have been right here. You see, that's the difference. I was having a conversation with someone this morning and talking about how we grow in our marriages and stuff. And folks, I want to challenge you today. Don't settle for a good marriage. Don't settle for a good marriage. Pursue the greatest of marriages. Pursue the greatest of relationships. Pursue Christ and His love, and let that love be poured out in your heart so that you can share that with others. So we go on with the text. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him, and He in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. Listen carefully at these closing words. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You cannot know the love that Scripture describes. You cannot know it if you don't know the author and perfecter of love, the giver of love. And remember our sermon title, continuing in 1 John. We were just reading out of 1 John chapter 4. Now for the overcomers. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And in those verses, I think you'll find faith, hope, and love. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come up. And with these closing comments, we're going to extend this invitation. Since a relationship with Christ is a personal relationship, that relationship can be established by anyone, anytime, anywhere. So you may be at home listening to this, and you're all alone. You may be there with your family. You may have a couple of friends with you. But whatever your current situation, as you hear these words, know that you can come to Christ. It doesn't have to be in a church building. It doesn't have to be in a public gathering. In the privacy of your own home, maybe it's just you and him right now talking this over. I got to remember to look at you right now. Please consider this. Where have you placed your value? What are you counting on to get you through the tough times? What have you stored up to assist as you go through a difficult period of life? In other words, where is your faith this morning? Is it in something very fragile? Is it in something very frail? Is it in something that maybe you've created yourself? Maybe it's in the job or the business that you've built. Maybe it's in the home that you've constructed or purchased. Maybe all of your security is simply based on the things of this world. Well, I challenge you to understand they're not going to stand. Even if they endure this moment of crisis, eventually they will fall. They will fall. So where is your faith this morning? And can you say with absolute certainty that you have a hope that transcends the current virus, the coronavirus? But do you have a hope that transcends death itself? Do you have what we would call a living hope? A living hope. Because that's the kind of hope that Jesus promises. A living hope. Can you say for certain that your faith is in someone who is greater than sin and death? Can you say that with certainty? And if you have that faith and you have that secured hope, then you know the love of God. You know the love of God. And if you know the love of God, I can't think of a better time to share it than right now. Now, if you're here or if you're listening to this and you feel led to make that decision, to put your faith in the living Christ, to put your faith in the one who died for your sins, if you're here listening and you want a secured hope, you want to know these three things in your life, you want to know that your faith is sound, your hope is secured, and that love you'll receive is surpassing everything you've ever known, then just pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I come to you with an open heart. I come to you today to confess that I have put my hope in a lot of worthless things. I come to you today to tell you that I have placed my faith in things that will not endure. I come to you today, I want to know the love of God. Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you extend to me that unconditional love and accept me as one of your children? And if you pray that prayer, I urge you to contact me or the church to follow up. We'd be glad to visit with you and follow up on that profession of faith. But folks, these times are perilous. They are perilous. And we are here to tell you that there is one greater than all of this. There is one greater than whatever else may come after this season is past. Put your faith in him. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, we pray that as your message goes forth, it will go forth under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit to change lives, Father, to affect lives. Father, what if your love, Lord, I'm going to use an analogy here. Just an example, but what if your love was spreading like COVID-19? What if your love was being spread like a terrifying virus? We've got the that's as far opposite as we could come in an example. A ravaging disease and the love of God. My goodness. My goodness, that's as far apart as you can get. And one kills, robs, destroys, and one the other gives hope, love, and security. So I pray that many will turn to your love today and by faith come to know Jesus Christ, your Son. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.